for those of you who are technical savvy, the service is also on YouVersion if you want to sign into that event. And for whatever it's worth, my notes are on there too. Sometimes I can't understand my notes, so if you have better luck with that, that's fine. Let me just take a moment here before we unpack what God has us for us today. Just want to take a moment to pray, because that song had a line in it that just really struck me. And it says that, come to the altar, his arms are always open for you. One of the things that I really appreciate about God and the fact that Jesus, in his love and his grace, prepared the way so you and I can be embraced no matter what we are going through in life. And everybody here has a story. I know that, you know. If you're here this morning, you don't have a problem, well, hang on. It's going to come soon. And when it comes, you know, then we have a choice to make. Do we handle the problem in a way that brings honor and glory to God, or do we handle it in a different way that usually makes the problem worse? So what I'd like to do right now, before we get into the passage, is have a moment of prayer to pray for those who are hurting this morning. Can we do that? And just lift them up before the throne of grace. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you that because Jesus died on the cross, that his death made possible that we can come before the throne of grace with anything in our time of need. And the writer of Hebrews says that we can find grace and mercy at the throne. Father, there are many here today, and each of us has things that we're going through, problems, some problems people may not be even aware of, but you are. I thank you, Father, that you care for each and every one of us. I thank you that you're able to meet us at the point of our need and you're able to comfort us. I thank you that your arms are always open. I thank you that we don't need an appointment to come and see you and talk to you, but you're there 24/7. I thank you for your love in whatever situation that we find ourselves in, that your love never fails us. Thank you for those times where we can't see past the problem, Father, but you have already worked through it and gone before us. So, Father, I pray for comfort for those who need comforting this morning. Put your arms around them. May your spirit just reassure them of how much you love them today. I pray, Father, for those of us who may come in complacent, that you would wake us up, that we would respond to the incredible gift of your love this morning. And, Father, for those of us who come in indifferent, I pray that today you would challenge us to make a difference. And so, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have you ever been around a person who just seems to be a positive influence on you? Have you ever been around that type of person? It's refreshing to be near somebody like that, isn't it? To have a positive influence. Now, every day when you and I wake up, we have a choice to make whether we are going to be a positive influence on someone, or we could be a negative influence. Isn't that true? We could be a negative influence on other people. And I want to suggest to you that the difference between being a positive influence and a negative influence is the choice we make as soon as we get up in the morning. And that is what Joshua would say, choose you this day who you will follow. Are we going to follow the worries that we have, the ways of the world, or are we going to follow the promises of God and Jesus Christ himself? That is the difference between having a positive influence and a negative influence. Now, I have to confess to you, I don't wake up chipper every day. Some of you wake up grumpy. And he and she are next to you sometimes, right? And, you know, one of the worst things that we can do, I think, and I know how it affects me, may not affect you in the same way it affects me, but one of the worst things that I think we can do is the first, when we wake up, the first thing in the morning is to turn the news on. You know, if you want to be in a bad mood for the rest of the day, that's a good way to do it. I believe, and again, I know everybody's different, but this is just a suggestion. I believe the best way to wake up is to wake up with God, to wake up in the Word, to claim the promises that God has for you, not the promises we want God to have. There's a difference. You understand that. But I'll give you an example. God has always promised us to love us no matter what. True? God has always promised us that he will love us and see us through any situation. Doesn't say he'll take the situation away. It doesn't say he'll make it all right. That's his business. But he says he'll, if we depend on him, he will keep us obedient as we go through deep waters. Isn't that true? Okay? We can't do it on our own. We need God's help. As I'm studying these verses in Thessalonians, it really occurred to me that Paul really wanted to get the message to the people in the church of Thessalonica that if we're going to have a positive influence on people in this life, in our Mondays, our Tuesdays, our Wednesdays, our Thursdays, our Fridays, and Saturdays, that we need to know how to handle the Word of God. Does that make sense? How would you know the promises without knowing the Word? True? How would you know how to walk with God if we didn't have the Word? How would you know what to think sometimes about a situation without the Word of God? You understand where I'm going here? Okay? So, I want to just read this passage to you and tell you that we need to learn to handle the Word of God as powerful churches have handled it in the past. Nothing has changed. All right? How the early church handled the way of God, the Word of God, was important because they became people of influence. I want you to follow this with me. Look at verse 13. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Paul and his team are saying in this letter, we also thank God continually for who? The people in Thessalonica, the church in Thessalonica, because when you received the word of God, what you heard from us. I want to stop there for a second. If I should have done this today, but I, you know, my mind has been in 10,000 places this week. If I came in with a whole package of Hershey bars, all right? Yeah, I hear the ums. If I came in with a whole package of Hershey bars and I just came up to you and I said, would you take this? It's a gift, right? What would you have to do to realize that gift? You got to receive it, right? You have to receive it as a gift. Otherwise, you know, it does no good. Correct? On a different note, some of you are going to sit down to a good meal after service, right? Hopefully it's a good meal. And the food is in front of you now. Whoever prepares it, or if you go into a restaurant, whoever prepares it, it looks good, right? What do you have to do to appreciate that food? Just look at it? You have to receive it. Don't you? Okay. One of the things that we have to realize about the Word of God is that we need to receive it. And that takes a a decision of the will from us. Let me give you an example. How many times have you, I know I'm going on dangerous ground here, okay? But how many times have you told your child something and you made this statement? It's like talking to the wall, right? It's like talking to the wall. I see a lot of parents going, we got two generations in the back row who are looking at each other. I'm not going to say who they are. But you can say something and the person doesn't receive it, correct? We can do that with the Word of God. Isn't that true? The Word of God could be taught and preached, but if we don't make the decision that we're going to be, we're at least going to receive it, then we're skipping the first step. Even like the food. If your body's going to use that food to nourish it, you have to receive it. Otherwise, it's never going to happen. So we have to receive the Word of God as it is preached and offered. it is expounded and made clear. One of the things that myself, other pastors, Angelo, who's been in the pulpit, knows, we really wrestle with taking the Word of God and trying to make it clear so you can receive it and understand it. And it doesn't stop there, but that's the first step, isn't it? Now, is there anybody here who can read Scripture and sometimes not have questions about it? Right? Sometimes it's complicated, right? Sometimes you don't quite understand something. That's why God gives pastors and teachers in a church to say, hey, let me help you with this. And a wise preacher or a teacher will say, here's what I believe God is showing me here, but don't take my word for it alone. Read the Word yourself. Test what I say by the Word of God. Churches that are influential are made up of influential people. And these are people who learn how to receive the Word of God. Continue on in this verse with me. It says, you received the Word of God as you heard from us. You what? Accepted it, not as what? Human words. Every church that is faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ, every church that believes that the Bible is God's word, every church that believes that the Bible is the final authority for our practice of living, has something to say. Has something to say. This is where we go wrong sometimes, I think, in our culture, because we think if somebody's on television, it makes what they say more important than the local pastor. Because we're celebrity-minded, aren't we? And listen, hey, Dr. Jeremiah is a great preacher. Some of you listen to Charles Stanley, I'm sure. Some of you listen to Freddie Prinze and others. Listen, these are all good men, all good preachers. However, when somebody's being faithful to the Word of God on a Sunday morning in a local church, it doesn't make what they're saying any less valuable than some of these high-profile guys. Another way of saying that is people who decide to stay away from church on a Sunday are missing the opportunity to hear what God has for them. You're not here by accident. None of you are here by accident. You may not want to be here, but you're not here by accident. It's not an accident that maybe your spouse said to you, "Ah, come on, let's go. Come on, I don't want to go. Come on, let's go. I don't want to go. Life will be easier this afternoon if you come with me." You know, I mean, that's not by accident either. You're here for a divine appointment. Even if you just hear that Jesus loves you, if you hear that there's a better way to live than trying to navigate this life on our own, because the Word of God has application to to our lives, no matter what situation we're in. We not only need to receive the word of God, we need to accept it. What does it mean to accept it? That means we need to have our spiritual ears open when we listen to a message. Does that make sense? We need to say, okay, Lord, I know you have something for me today. Help me hear what that is. And there needs to be that realization that the word of God is not a human word, but supernatural. What Paul means here is that when preachers speak and expound the word of God, we're not giving you our opinions. We're not giving you what we think. We're giving you what we believe God wants to say, and that carries his authority. You've heard the term ambassador, correct? All right. Our government has ambassadors to other countries. And anybody know what the purpose of an ambassador is? More particular, to represent the president of the United States to that country and what he says. An ambassador is not supposed to go beyond what the president says, okay? Anybody who's teaching or preaching the word of God is not supposed to go beyond what God says. We are simply ambassadors delivering the word to hopefully people who are hungry for it. One of the Psalms says, David's Psalm, and I can't remember which one offhand because I'm over 60, but if you remember, shout it out. He says, "Oh, my soul pants for your word as a deer pants for" what? Water. If you're not coming into services or a Sunday school class or even coming to your own personal devotions with a hunger for the word of God, knowing that he's got something for you, then we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it. We need to accept the word. We need to have open ears spiritually. And there needs to be a realization that the word of God is supernatural. Listen, I don't know what your preferences are, but of course, unfortunately, we heard that the singer Prince passed away, correct? You see how many people responded, you know, and I'm hearing things like he had such an impact on my life. The words of his songs really changed my life. And I don't doubt that there's some truth to that. But here's the way I think. And his style of music wasn't to my taste, but that doesn't mean it's not to your taste. You may like it. This is no commentary on his music. But when I see this, I saw this when John Lennon was shot. Remember that for those of us. And music can be powerful, can it? Sometimes music is better than a sermon. Isn't that true? Sometimes music is better than a sermon. I understand that. And there's an impact that it can have on people's lives. But I have to raise the question, is it a positive impact? Okay. Here's the other issue. As much as you may like a music artist or the style of music, you realize they're putting this out there. And I'm sure that they're putting out there for a message, also to make money, but, you know, for a message. But none of them know your name. None of them know who you are. I can go generation to generation. Some of you like Elvis Presley. And he had a great voice and, you know, good music, but he didn't know who you are. You know, my generation was the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, and all. We can go up through all the generations and say, hey, we can appreciate the music. Some of the messages weren't good, so we know that now in light of the word of God. But they didn't know who you are. God knows every one of you here today. He knew you before you were born. He knew you. He loved you before you were born. He knows what you need today, what you need to hear, what you need to consider, sometimes what you need to repent of if you're battling sin. Repentance meaning turning away from that, confessing, and being restored. He knows what you need. He knows better than I do what you need. I mentioned last week, sometimes, you know, after a message, somebody will come up to me and say, hey, Pastor, you know, you spoke to me today. Well, I'm glad. That's God. It's not me. God's doing that through his spirit. But that's how some of this transforms. I always love it. You know, when a teen comes up to me and says, did you talk to my parents this week? And I said, no. Well, how'd you know about this? Now, this is what the Word of God says. It is supernatural. Now, let me take you back to the food illustration. There's a great plate of Mary Lou's lasagna, okay? I look at it, and I appreciate it, but it doesn't no good until what? Until I put it in my mouth. And I receive it, I accept it, and after I chew it and enjoy the taste, where does it go? Down to the stomach, so it could be what? Digested. And when it's digested with the body, this wonderful mechanism of the body, right, then takes the nutrients out and helps nourish us, right? I know some people here who get grumpy when they don't eat. Is that you? Okay. We need food to sustain ourselves, don't we? We need food and water, and we have to digest it if it's going to do us any good. Now, I have to put a little caveat in here because I don't even know who said it. You are what you eat. So if we put junk in, it's not going to be good. Isn't that true? We're going to hurt ourselves with junk. We know that. But if we could put good stuff in, it's going to benefit us. Well, it's the same thing. We could put in the junk of the world into us and digest that, and it's going to be bad for us. Or we can put the Word of God into our hearts and our spirit and digest that and benefit from it. How do we digest the Word of God? Does anybody have any idea? This has almost become a lost concept. How do we digest the Word of God? Meditation. Feed on. Well, does that mean that's vague? You're right, but tell me what that means. Okay. All right. So you meditated. You asked the Spirit of God to show you what you need to know from this, correct? You chew on it. How many times are you supposed to chew your food before you swallow? All right, 20, 28, I don't know. Tomorrow could be 50, I don't know. But you got to chew it, and then your body starts to go work on it. I believe that too many times we're guilty of hearing a message or coming to the Word of God and saying, okay, that's it, we're done. No, you're supposed to meditate on what you hear. We, in the evangelical church, we threw out that word meditation because of some of the Eastern religions. And meditation, it depends what you meditate on. Isn't that true? If you meditate on good stuff, what's going to happen? Good stuff's going to happen. If you meditate on bad stuff, the bad stuff's going to happen. You are who you think. You are what you think. You are what you meditate on. You take garbage in, that's what's going to come out. Garbage. We need to read and meditate on the Word of God. What does meditation mean? Man, just read a passage or listen to a message and say, oh, boy, that really hit home. Lord, what do you want me to do with this now? How do I make it a part of my life? Nothing can become a part of our lives unless we digest it. Isn't that true? We meditate on it. and we roll it around. One of the benefits I have personally as being a pastor is I get to work with a passage from 7 to 10 days. Right, Angela? You know the feeling. And you pray over it. You meditate over it. I can't tell you how many times in the 30 years I've been doing this, I've preached through the book of Thessalonians. Here's what I don't do, just so you know. I never keep my notes. My notes go into garbage the next day. The reason for that is it's too tempting to keep the notes, and when I come back to the book, when God leads me back, to pull the notes off the shelf and say, okay, this is what I did. No, I want God to speak to me fresh. And not only that, things change, right? Applications of the word change. So I never keep my notes. They go into garbage the next day. And we have to come to the Word of God every day with the expectation that He's going to speak to us somehow. Now, He can do that through the Word. He can do that in a worship service. He can do it in conjunction with the Word and music. Isn't that right? Some of you probably know some of the phrases from your favorite praise songs and hymns that you latch on to. That's valuable stuff. And can it be that thou, my God, should die for who? Me. And now he stands before the Father's throne and shows his wounded hands and claims me as his own. These are precious words that the writers of these songs got out of the scripture to put into music so we can remember them. These are truths that never change. We need to digest the word. And lastly, after we digest the word, we're ready to apply it to our lives. Listen to this. I'm going to start at verse 13 again. We also thank God continually because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed what? At work in you who believe. For those of you who have come to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that means that when you receive, accept, and digest the word of God, it's going to start to what? Go to work in you. Some of you, when you eat a spicy food and you digest it, it starts to go to work in you, doesn't it? Okay? And that's not in a good way. But the word of God, when we receive it and we digest it, wow, then it starts to go to work in us. What can it do? Well, as the Holy Spirit begins to work that into our spirit, then, but in baby steps, we become a little bit more like Christ. Now we can be transformed from the inside out to be people of positive influence. Wow. But that can't happen just by reading a book overnight. That happens when we receive the Word of God, when we accept it, we digest it, and we allow the Spirit of God to now work it into our own spirit to change us from the inside out. That's when meaningful life change starts to happen. It's when it starts to happen. Follow. We're almost done. For you, brothers and sisters, became what? Imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Jesus Christ. What Paul is saying here is you've received the word, you've accepted it, you've meditated, digested it, and it's working in you, and now you're imitating other believers in their growth. As you're growing in Christ, you start walking with Christ, you become people of influence, and I want you to notice this. You suffered from your own people the same thing that those churches suffered from the Jews. This is key. Remember I said life brings problems? Let me tell you, in the early church, in this time, if you were a Jew or a Gentile, and somebody like Paul comes into town and they preach the gospel, and you by faith repent of your sin and know that Jesus died for you personally on the cross of Calvary, your life is going to start to change from that moment. As you hear more of the word, you accept it, you meditate on it, and step by step, you change. Let me tell you some of the consequences that the believers had to endure back then. A lot of employers didn't want Christians. If you work for somebody, chances are you were going to get dismissed from your job. Okay? Secondly, if you had a business, your own business, and you became a Christian, a lot of people would start to boycott you. All right? This was not an easy thing. All right? There was suffering involved. As persecution picked up not too long after this was written, you and I know that at one point the Roman Empire was doing what? Killing followers of Jesus Christ. But they never wavered. They never wavered. In spite of the possibilities and the probability of suffering, because they received the word of God, accepted it, digested it, and it became part of their lives, they were able to walk through the suffering in a way that glorifies God. And only with his help. I have to underscore that. Only with his help. We cannot do this on our own. This is the work of the Holy Spirit as we let the Spirit work in our lives. Whoops, let me go back a little bit. It says, you suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered from the Jews who killed the Lord Jesus, the prophets, and also drove us out. They displeased God and are hostile to everybody. Let me stop there for a second. A lot of people take this verse as a proof of anti-Semitism. This is not what Paul meant, okay? Paul wasn't being anti-Semitic here. Not too long after this, he makes clear that it wasn't the Jews that had a hand in this. It was also the Romans, okay? And the fact of the matter, the ones responsible for putting Christ on the cross, he went for my sin. He went for your sin. So don't misread this verse, okay? And then he concludes this, and he says, in the effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. What Paul is saying there is, in every age, not only his time, but in every age, there will be somebody who will try, or some movement that will try to prevent the gospel from being spread. There'll always be that opposition. And here's where the rubber meets the road. As we let God change us from the inside out, as we receive the word, as we accept it, as we digest and meditate on it, and then let the Spirit of God change us from the inside out to become people of godly influence, positive influence, nobody's going to be able to stop the word of God. No one. They can try to close down churches. They can try to keep us off the streets from talking to people. But that will never happen. You know why? Because Jesus lives in you. He lives in you. And because he lives in you, his love lives in you. So that when you meet hurting people, you're going to be able to love them. Supernaturally. When you meet people who are going through a tough time, you're going to be able to love them supernaturally. You're going to be people of influence. John says it this way. They will know we are followers of Christ, Christians, by what? For who? One another. For one another. Listen, we've all been guilty of this, and this is what we've been guilty of. let's not be guilty of going, Tom, I'm going to use you as an example, so don't hit me, okay? Okay. I go up to Tom and I say, hey, Tom, how you doing? And, you know, he says, oh, I say, okay, Tom, goodbye. You know, see you later. Sometimes we get stuck into these platitudes, you know, say, hey, how you doing? And, you know, don't ask the question if you're not interested, number one, okay? Number two, if you can ask that in love, then listen. And it may not be anything you can do besides pray with the person. You don't have all the answers, neither do I. Hug the person if you have their permission. Cry with the person. Encourage the person. But listen to me. We have nothing good to give out if we're not taking anything good in. So the challenge is very simple. We need to learn to accept the word, receive the word of God. Accept it, digest it, apply it. Let the Spirit of God apply it to our lives so we can be people of godly influence. I tell a lot of people who they'll come to me and they'll say, so-and-so is going through something. What could I possibly do? Never underestimate the power of presence. You know what I mean by that? The power of your presence. I've done far too many funerals in my pastoral life. And a lot of times when I go to some of these funerals, I say to the Lord, what can I possibly say? What can I possibly say to the husband, the wife, the parent, you know, who just lost a child? What can I possibly say? And every time the answer comes back, just be there. I don't have to say anything. Just be there. It is so important. Just be there. When we, again, by baby steps, let God develop us into people of influence, then no matter what's happening around us, we can always go to Him and say, Lord, thank you for all you've done. Looks like the sky is falling right now, but Lord, I know you're still in control, but thank you for all you've done. If you're here this morning and you haven't come to a place where you realize that God loves you and He died for you personally on the cross of Calvary, and there's something inside of you that says, I need to know the love of God. I need to know, first of all, that I'm a rebel against God. That's what sin is. We don't do what God wants. And I need to turn from that to turn to Him so I can know God's love, His forgiveness, His new life, and His new purpose. Don't leave today until you talk to one of us and we can tell you about new life in Christ. But are you ready to thank Him for all He's done? Bill, are you ready to lead us?